Come here.
Blog Talk Radio.
How are my friends out there? This is Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I'm calling in to you, and you're calling out to me. And this is going to be a great show today. Welcome to the Student to Teacher Radio Talk Show. I truly appreciate your participation this morning. Looks like the switchboard is already lighting up there, people are just waiting to make some comments about the show's episode today, which is just a critical situation that's going on out there. Yes, today we're going to be presenting something that the White Apple Institute students have come up with after tremendous conversations, chats with homeless students, and a large portion of those being veterans. And so today we are doing the real truth about homeless student veterans. And we figure you might be interested in that because of the fact that we've done some shows on homeless students in college, okay? We've talked about homelessness overall for people struggling to, to deal with the underpaid jobs, the minimum wage issues. But when we talk about someone like myself who has served our country and every day woke up, I don't care for how long it was, a month, 2 months, a year, or whatever, and they were at readiness to serve our nation, and they are homeless. And in addition to that, my friends, they are struggling, rolling up their sleeves to go to school, to attend school, some of them even working part-time jobs, managing families, yes, managing families, and many of them, my friends, with disabilities, especially mental disabilities, learning disabilities, and PTSD, depression, bipolar, and they're still doing it. They're still waking up in the morning, and they are hitting the pavement. They are either taking a bus or they are driving. They're finding a way to get into that classroom. Can we give some kudos for those students out there? Okay, now that's from an academic realm, but there's also, remember, this show is called the Student to Teacher Show because we are all students. Yes, my friends, we are all eternal students and eternal teachers, because if you have a desire to learn, and even if this particular subject is not so close to home to you, there'll be someone, if you can learn some of the things that we're going to talk about today, and you can become that eternal student, then maybe somewhere in your dealings out there, you will be able to share what you have learned from us. And that makes you the student to teacher. Welcome to our show today. Again, this is Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I encourage you to go to White Apple Institute and hit that donate button so that you can help us keep this show going on air. We're connected to a nonprofit organization, and with that, we do not make any revenue off of commercialism or whatever. And so we are hoping that you will click that donate button at White Apple Institute and help us out with the show, whiteappleinstitute.org, or give us a call if you know someone who needs some counseling and emotional support to get back into school or to stay in school. Please have them call White Apple Institute at 480-471-8082. My private practice is now located online at AskDrApplewhite.com. That's right, my friends. Before you burn out, before you drop out, or if you know somebody that's right there and they're ready to quit their job and they're ready to drop out of school, would you tell them, did you ask Dr. Apple? Ask Dr. Apple before you drop out, before you burn out, for some resources. So I encourage you to push that idea, that promote that concept out there. So just visit AskDrApplewhite.com. Explore the website there. Okay, now, one of the things I want to get to real quickly, because it's a little past 5 minutes past our time, and we have a great show, a lineup of special guests. We have Melinda Vale joining us, intuitive therapist. We have Barbara Garden from Taros that will be on. We have a number of people coming in from veteran organizations. And most importantly, we have a veteran by the name of El Rey, and he will be coming on and talking about his journey as a homeless student veteran. And we have a few other vets that will be joining us this morning to make some comments. So stay tuned for the vet-to-vet component on the show that will come in a little earlier than usual with Mitch Cavaness this morning. All right, the real truth. What is the real truth about homeless student veterans? All right, my friends, let's talk about it for a minute. The statistics are overwhelming. And this episode, you've got to share it with everyone that you know, every student that you know that is struggling to get through school, especially those with family responsibilities. And I mean, like I said earlier, when we talk about especially if they're veterans, my heart goes out to those students that I have personally witnessed staying in storage units and with their children and just to make it through a course because at the last minute they dealt with some domestic violence issues and abusive partners and could not live with them and still wanted to finish out a course of study at college. People who have students who have come to me because they lost their job and or they're on minimum wage and their family responsibilities, emergencies just overwhelm them and they're still trying to get to school. And believe it or not, yes, they have disabilities and they are working it. They are doing it. They are rolling up their sleeves. Can we help those who are trying to help themselves? You see, I can't talk enough about this. Okay, I can't talk enough about how myself, I grew up in the projects of Compton, Watts, California, and struggled myself to break the chains of poverty, and especially the poverty mentality, okay, that can carry you even if you've got money in the bank, if you think poorly about yourself. And I've dealt with so many students that have had those issues. And what makes it worse, my friends, is that many of the agencies that are out there try their best. Now, don't get me wrong. They try their best to meet the needs of student veterans, those with disabilities, and those in crisis. They really do try their best. What is going on out there that I am personally getting involved with students that are dealing with issues of homelessness and crisis situations, and they can't get the help? What's going on? There are too many of them. Too many of them. I can't believe the statistics right here in Arizona that we just don't have enough beds. And when you're talking about families being homeless, and you're talking about the children trying to get to school, and if that person is in a course of study and they can't drop out because if they do, they will lose all of the credits that they have. I mean, these situations actually take place. And we have to intervene. We have to do something. So that is why White Apple Institute even exists, is to help those students struggling to break the chains of the poverty mentality, struggling to overcome the issues of domestic violence and pain management and disability issues, struggling to break the chains of loss of job. Help us to help those who are trying to help themselves. Well, my friends, I'm not going to get into these startling statistics that I talked about in the episode information, because if you really want these statistics, it's overwhelming, and you can always call me. Just contact me. I'm going to go right into the crux of where this information comes from so you can see the validation. Do you know that colleges and universities right now are reporting an increased population of students, college students, homeless college students? And on top of that, we have chapters in each of the disability resource offices in many of the colleges around the nation that are actually reaching out to veterans and setting up food pantries. That's right. UCLA is one of them. University of Southern South Carolina, another one, who is really recognizing the need of homeless, and get this one, friends, homeless and hungry college students. Okay? And you say to me, many of my colleagues have come back and said, what about financial aid? Well, keep in mind this, and I hope some of our guests are going to talk about this. Keep in mind that financial aid, the cost of education far exceeds that, and that's another show in itself, and student debt. And it doesn't help when we're in crisis. And when the student is in crisis, that is when we need to intervene. We need to do something to intervene immediately, and we also need to do some prevention work, my friend. We need to help people that are in this situation to recognize that there are avenues, resources available to them. Ask Dr. Apple. All right, my friends, let's open up this switchboard and see who's available this morning to talk about some of these issues here. We're going to first open up with just talking a little bit about the issues of PTSD and depression and how that does affect students so that I can give you some reality here. We have Barbara Garden, I believe, from Terrell's Online, and Melinda Vail, intuitive therapist. Good morning, my friends.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I feel great because we're getting the word out. That makes me feel wonderful that we can at least get the word out.
It's always why I so much love being on your show and so appreciate all the work that you do and how you get the word out to everyone. And I'm so pleased to have someone from Terrell's with me today. Terrell's is having some real innovative programs with veterans and post-traumatic stress and helping people get on their feet so they can go back to school and do what they need to do to get their lives in order.
Thank you, Melinda Vail. Thank you so much. And Melinda, listeners are aware of your therapeutic value. What is your website so that if they do want to get in touch with you with some of the things that you're saying today, that they'll have that opportunity?
It's Melinda Vail at melindavail.com. Vail spelled V-A-I-L.
V-A-I-L. Okay, listeners.
Correct.
And those of you who didn't catch that, if you're not able to replay the show, just go ahead, call White Apple Institute or us on our contact form on the website, and we'll be glad to forward that information about Melinda over to you. Barbara Garden, how are you? Good morning.
I'm well, thank you. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and I'm so excited to talk about our program for vets.
Yes. I think it's very, very important that we understand the overwhelming numbers that are out there, first off, Barbara. And Terrell's is not just, it's pretty much Arizona-based. However, it's connected to Magellan. It's connected to many national organizations that are dealing with the same issues because our show broadcasts all over. It's international, actually.
It is. We are very connected with the R4 Alliance, who is building a whole cadre of providers that are providing therapeutic recreation. We are also very connected with Honor House. That is a local organization that is working with vets to help them through reintegration when they come out of combat. And today we found that many veterans and active service members are returning from combat with physical battle wounds, but also some of them have deep emotional scars, including post-traumatic stress.
Absolutely. Barbara, tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do for Terrell's?
I have been with Terrell's for 23 years. My basis is in crisis intervention. I was the director of our mobile crisis service for many years.
You did that mobile thing, huh?
I did that mobile thing, yes.
I did that during my college years. That was quite an experience.
Yeah, and now I'm the director of community relations. I oversee many of our prevention programs, and I provide administrative support for our veterans program. I also do some of the grant writing, and I'm the corporate compliance officer and also the safety officer at Terrell's.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope that you'll be able to send students to us that we can help with any emotional support to get them through the crisis situations that they run in sometimes as they're in college and in the workforce. So please make sure you check us out, okay?
I definitely will check you out. And I also found that so many of the college students and so many veterans are really impacted by stress and the symptoms of PTSD, which include nightmares and sleeplessness, anger, anxiety, and depression, which really isolates them from society and kind of gets them frozen in time, and they aren't able to do anything with their lives. So hopefully we can make a difference.
And you know, the isolation that you mentioned, Barbara, this is something that Melinda and I have talked about on previous shows also, the isolation that takes place when someone is dealing with the emotional challenges of just trying to get their life together after a crisis or to prevent a crisis, and they run up against all kinds of walls. And this is what happens is that even with counseling, and I don't know if you can put a light on that, if we can help people with intervention early to prevent the isolation issue, then that would be a lot more productive than trying to catch them on the intervention end. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. What happens if we don't catch them at the beginning, they end up in that cycle of trying to self-medicate with with drugs and alcohol, and then they fall even deeper into that terrible situation.
Exactly. And you see, that's what I've been finding, is that, and the reason why this show even came into existence right now in the first part of June here, because we had other things scheduled. But this is, it's becoming overwhelming for us that we're dealing with already. Our mission is to help students with disabilities and emotional challenges, okay, and to help them get through workforce, because you're familiar with vocational rehabilitation, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, and so that's where I was for a good 10 years, and now I serve on the Governor's Council on Disabilities. And what I'm finding out is that that we are not able to reach out the way that we'd like to because of this lack of funding. But that's there, and that's always been there. That's always a struggle. But we have students who are too, let's say, embarrassed to bring it up to a professor or to a staff member to even say to them, I'm dealing with homelessness, hunger, and I have PTSD, and I'm trying to handle my family. You know, I mean, these things are really hard for people to talk about. How would you encourage someone to do that?
I would absolutely encourage somebody. Well, at Taros, we use mentors, and so we have people who can actually sit down with somebody who has those fears and talk to them and help them work through the system, which is very helpful, especially somebody who has been through what they're going through right now.
And I think that we have to really start making it clear that there are programs like Taros available. So if that student is embarrassed to talk to a professor or to someone like that, at least they know there's a program here in Arizona and many other states, too, that will have programs that have an open-door policy for them where they can get that mentorship, where they can get the ball rolling and start talking about how they're feeling and start preventing some of that other, you know, falling, you know, into the rabbit's hole kind of cycle from happening.
And the other part of that is that in doing that, and there are organizations that are really trying very, very hard to make sure that there are some prevention methods going on out in the community. However, our situation right now at White Apple Institute is that there are crises that happen. And when these crises happen, this is when we need people to really get on board and help. Because we want to do the prevention of not letting them fall through those cracks. Just recently, and a veteran will be joining us this morning, just recently I've been dealing with a student who had to, was in a crisis situation because of checks not coming through, his government checks, and landed up in a cycle of homelessness. And he'll be joining us on the show this morning. And he's a veteran himself, and we'll be talking about how difficult it is to manage family and disability. And, you know, I just give kudos to you, Barbara Garden. I give kudos to you, Melinda, for the work that you're doing. Do you have anything more that we can say before I bring on another caller about the work that you've been doing? Melinda, just kind of recap for us, because we've got a full switchboard here.
Well, you know, very briefly, I actually talk about alternative methods to helping with post-traumatic stress as a hypnotherapist, and I go in to this kind of situation with suicide prevention, post-traumatic stress, from a spiritual point of view. We have to have a spiritual base in order for us to get into a point of wellness and you know, kind of reconnect somebody to their spiritual base, as well as working with some cognitive therapies and some programs that will help make movement for them. And I also just, you know, like to connect people to each other so that we all have an awareness that there is a network here in Arizona and other places where help can be found. And sometimes when we feel like we're all alone, we don't realize that there is a network, some level of some agencies that are available. You know, all too often mental illness and post-traumatic stress isn't discussed until we have a tragedy or something that happens that brings awareness.
Yes.
It's discussed for a while and then it's dropped again.
Well, let me
and,
ask. Go ahead, Barbara.
I just wanted to say that in Maricopa County, for anybody who is in crisis, they do have a crisis line, and people can just call that crisis line, and everybody can describe their own crisis. There's not necessarily a description of what constitutes a crisis. Anybody who is having something that they can't deal with, they are free to call into that line, and they can get somebody to come out and talk to them, and somebody who can help them through getting them through the referral process and getting them real help. And that number is 602-222-9444.
Now, this is just something that the students have come through. We've got a lot of people that are coming through on chat also right now, which is wonderful. The chat line is open for those of you who are not aware of that. So if you're not able or in a place where you can actually get online and talk to us, feel free to go ahead and type in your questions and answers into our chat line. But one of the things that's coming up right now is that some of the people are saying that they have a call different numbers and they get the runaround. And just recently, when I opened up my big mouth, Barbara and Melinda, and I said to one of our student veterans, I said, I know that there's help out there because I know the crisis lines, okay, and I'm going to give you the numbers. And I'm going to help you to get through that process. And unfortunately, I was amazed at some of the things that I learned as I had to, I'll just have to tell you, I checked up on him, Barbara, okay? I couldn't believe when he kept coming back to me and saying, but they told me to call this number, and I told them I've already called that number, and now I'm going to point A and point B, and I'm going back again. And here's someone that's dealing with emotional challenges already and trying to hang in there, okay, and dealing with that kind of, what do you call that, bouncing someone back and forth. And I called and I talked to many vectors of some of the centers, just here in Arizona and some nationally, and I was amazed to find out how overwhelmed they are with the numbers and that many times they cannot help because the shelters are overcrowded and they don't have anything that can immediately help someone to stay overnight somewhere so they don't have to go to a shelter in a downtown city. I am just amazed at this, and some of my students are. What can we do?
Very, very sad. I know they have the homeless campus downtown, and I know that it gets full very quickly, but I think they have also alternative sites when that shelter is filled, but it is a big problem in Arizona because, as you know, everybody buses their people to Arizona. We have a wonderful climate. It's a lot easier to be homeless here is what the thought is. And so we do get very overcrowded, and it's very sad.
Yes. And you know,
we have to have more discussions about it and so that we can start having a dialogue so we can do something about it and expand what our programs are and take some of the shame and blame out of it so that we can start working towards having it better organized or create additional programs.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're going to bring in a few other people here, and I want you to think about something because I'm going to pose one of the things that have been coming up off and on, and you'll see that previous radio broadcasts have kind of emphasized it, is that with all of the media attention on shooters and the emphasis on mental illness, that is sort of the correlation, they're making such a big correlation or a cause that the mental illness is causing this person to go out and shoot, has already hindered many of my students. And I don't know if you're dealing with the same thing, Barbara and Melinda, in your practices, but they do not feel comfortable talking about their mental health because of the tremendous stereotypes that have now resurfaced greater than they were before. Are you dealing with that too? So I want you to keep that in mind as we bring in another caller that wants to, that will elaborate a little bit more. It's coming in from a 605 number. Hello, 605.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought I would lose your voice. That's one of our counselors. John Estes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Did I get
that?
Okay. What do you have this morning? I don't know if you heard that last statement that I was making to Barbara Garden and Melinda Vale there about the stereotypes that are going on and why it's hard for people to talk about their mental health issues, to talk about their state of homelessness, their state of even hunger, okay? Because some of the universities, major universities, are even putting up food pantries. So we've got a lot of different issues here that we're focused on, and we can't focus on all of them, John, this morning. So we're going to focus on just homeless student veterans and the mental health issues involved with that. And why do you think that there's a problem today with them talking about their situation?
I've thought for a long time that politicians and regular people, regular citizens, think that it's a good thing to talk about homeless shelters and halfway houses and what have you. But then you find a location to put one, and then they say, not in my backyard.
Yes, yes.
And they talk the talk. talk, but they don't walk the walk. There's very few of us that actually advocate for the homeless, period. Be they veterans and students or just plain homeless people.
And John, one of the things we're finding out, and this is very serious, Barbara, one of the things that came up, this student, Melinda, that is going to come on in just a moment, was disqualified from many programs because he is a student, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, okay? So
mm-hmm.
because he's trying to help himself and finish a degree or certification, he's actually penalized, in a sense, because it knocks him out of funding for emergency situations. So that's another thing that's going on, too. And so, John, I appreciate what you said just now. I want all of us to keep in mind that I know we can't cover this entire situation within this short time that we have on this show, but we're dropping bits of information, okay? We're learning from each other, and we're going to start sharing. And this show is actually going to go out to many people who have connected with us from the White House that are interested in this homeless student veteran population that actually has been ignored by many. Let's bring on our student for this morning. He is online now, and I'd like to introduce us, our audience of listeners out there. You know, we have over 76,000 listeners now. It's just amazing. Elway, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Appleby. How are you doing?
I am doing great this morning. I am so happy that we can get a message out there to help other people. Now, before you begin, Elway, with your story that's going to help us a lot to understand what's going on, I want to bring in our co-producer, Mitch Cavaness, for the Vet to Vet Talk, and I want him to join us in discussion in case there's something he might want to elaborate on in listening to your story, okay? We'll try our best not to interrupt, but we want to, you know, you have to understand we're on a time frame also. So I'm going to curve you into a lot of different things, okay? All right, so just hold on.
Okay, that's fine.
Mitch, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, our fellow veteran, Mitch.
And good morning to everyone and all of the professionals and counselors. Everything you said has been spot on, but I just want to make one plea across the nation to all the listeners. Please, when you go to vote, make sure that your representatives that you're voting on, whether it's in the Senate or the Congress, whatever legislature, state legislators, make sure that they don't include, make sure that you're not voting for someone that says something about the 47% who have their hand out, because there's such a vast majority of people that say, out there trying to restructure their lives, and they're not looking for a handout. They're looking for a hand up, and they want to better themselves, and you can't better yourself by being pushed into a cubbyhole of saying that you are part of the 47%. So everyone out there that is listening right now, make sure that when you vote, you're voting for someone who is going to support programs who are trying to help veterans, students, the population that is trying to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Bravo.
Yes.
I would
Thank
just like
you.
To also add on to that that is so true. All of the people that I come in contact, all of the people that we help at Taros, they are not looking for handouts. They're looking for a way to get back their lives and to move forward with their lives and to be able to help their families. I really haven't met anybody who just is there for the handout.
Yes. Yes, and you know, I'll have to back that up, Barbara Garden from Terrell's. I'll have to back that up by saying that in my 35 years of counseling and educating, I agree with you totally. When I see people that can walk into a clinic or even pick up the phone to call, they are people who want to make a change happen in their life, or they wouldn't do it. They are there for a purpose. And I think personally, if you don't mind me going off on my little personal soap opera, what hurts me the most when I look at the situations of homelessness and hunger among students is that we tend to ignore those who are trying to help themselves. This is where our energy needs to be placed also, not to say that we need to ignore those that are not able to make the phone call and that are on the street corners. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there needs to be a balance, and certainly not that because they're trying to help themselves in the workforce training programs, that they should be disqualified from benefits that will help them in a crisis to stay out of a further downward spiral of crises.
I think one of the important points to make is that people are very proud. People don't like asking for handouts. It's really hard to ask for help. And
yes, it is.
I found that if you give people a number, you're just giving them a number. But if you actually help them through that process and sit with them and help them to make those first calls, it can make such a difference in their lives.
Oh, Barbara, I am so glad that you understand. When we say emotional support, that's exactly what we do. We connect people to tarot. We connect them to ABLE. We connect them to the agencies. We're not trying to be the agencies, but we're trying to give them the emotional support because sometimes, don't you agree, people will call into a number, and Mitch, I know you've experienced this with many of the vets that you've talked to. They call into a number, and someone might have been having a bad day, okay, but because you've maybe made 5 or 6 different calls to people, you're having a pretty bad day yourself, and you're in crisis. And this person hangs up on you or is not very nice in transferring you, and it sends you into more of a downward spiral. I don't know how we can really do anything about that because it's human nature, but that's why we exist, Barbara, okay, is to hopefully get them back into the mode where they can understand that these things do happen, and it doesn't mean that the agent won't help you. Does that make sense?
Very well said.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without further ado,
let's bring on our student veteran this morning. Elway is just a fabulous student of White Apple Institute, and he has done some very marvelous things with his life. He is an 8-year veteran, and you know what? I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about his background. Elway, tell us a little bit about your background real quickly, and then we'll get into the actual story of what happened.
Thank you, cigarette. I'm on the radio.
Okay, I've been in the Navy for 8 years, 8 wonderful years. I did 3 tours to Bagram, Afghanistan, 3 6-month tours, and I did a 12-month tour to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And so when I got out of the Navy in June of 2013, my family and I, we decided to locate to Chandler, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And Elway, we certainly appreciate your service, okay? Without any question, you've done a great job to help us enjoy the freedoms, and we just give you kudos for that. So real quickly, give us an overview of why you even picked up the phone to call White Apple Institute for help. Where had you been? What had happened that put you in a situation where it was like you were grabbing out for straws?
Well, first off, I'd like to say it's so true what you say. Like, there are veterans who truly try to help themselves, but it seems like the society keeps knocking them down and kicking them in the teeth. Like, I'm going to school for phlebotomy, and because I'm going to school, I don't qualify for unemployment. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's not right, but okay, whatever. Well, sad to say, I got evicted from my apartment complex, even though I showed them for my e-benefits, a sheet of paper stating I'm getting 2 big deposits on May 1st. I showed them that on April 29th.
Mm-hmm.
The apartment complex still said, no, we want you out. Well,
part of that was because and the check did not come through, unfortunately, the way it was supposed to, and so that put you in a real bad situation. Is that right?
Yes, it did.
Yes. And so here we start that downward spiral. What did you do next?
Well, I started, we got, you know, evicted, and I started, like, calling around, asking for help. And so I went to a certain veteran organization, and, well, I didn't qualify because my disability puts me over the income limit.
Mm-hmm.
And they did offer us an apartment complexes, and, you know, not so great areas. Now, here's a catch-22. Granted, you offer me a place to live, but yet, me being a loving parent, loving, concerned parent that I am, do I really want my son to grow up around drugs and prostitution?
Right.
You're saying
that the availability of the resources that they did have available were something that was going to create even more of a downward spiral for you, more complications
exactly.
in your life. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one of the things that's real important, and I appreciate, we don't want to get out here and knock any organizations, because all of our every organization that I've talked to is really doing their best. I mean, I'm part of Disabled American Veterans and VFW, and those people I know have helped you with
yeah.
what you're doing. I know that U.S. Vets did take your application for services, but something still happened. There was a time when you were going to be out in the street, you called the shelters, are full, you don't know what to do with your 12-year-old son and your wife. You called us, but your call
yeah.
was desperation, you were in a crisis. Why couldn't you get help?
Yeah, because, oh my gosh, it's so hard because when all your funds are going towards food and living in a hotel room, like paying for a hotel day after day, it's impossible. It is impossible to catch up. And that's why I called your organization for help. Like, you know, if you knew of anybody, if you could, you know, if you and your organization could try to just help us out a little bit.
Okay.
And, everything really adds up. We weren't living on the streets yet, but we almost were. We're down to 2 days, and we really needed to get help.
Yes.
And this was,
yes.
I remember, it was, the sad thing is, it was a Friday, and things are not open the weekend. And that's another thing that puts veterans in a plight, you know.
Right. And we appreciate the fact that you're willing to go on the show today and talk about these things. And you had mentioned to me that it would be okay for us to share, for you to discuss about your disability and how you think that this has impacted or either made things more complicated for you with your disability.
Yes, I have PTSD, which that comes with depression and anger outbursts, and unfortunately I've taken that out on my family, which I'm not very proud of, and that's made things really hard for us, but getting the help that I need, it's balancing out everything, is, you know, working out, but it's, how can I put it, I'm trying as a veteran, you know, I don't ask for a handout. It's just a little bit of help. Like, when we need a little bit of help, it just seems like it's not there for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to let Barbara Garden, because she has a program that we can introduce you to today, and we're so glad that Barbara's online today and willing to take her time to do this. Barbara, we hope we come back on the show again. Okay. But, Barbara, let's let you kind of address some of the things that El Rey has said this morning. And it's not just for him. I mean, he's just the fourth student veteran that we've had this year that have come to us with these particular circumstances. And, you know, our fund availability is for books, and if they have a flat tire on their way to a test or something, you know, this became insurmountable for us to deal with. And so how can you intervene and help El Rey and other veterans out there like him?
You know, the homeless issue is really a big issue. And although I've heard recently that there are no chronically homeless veterans any longer in Phoenix, I know that the people who haven't got aren't chronically homeless but are homeless nevertheless are still having real challenges finding help.
Yes.
I know that our mayor is really working on that, and I believe he has a coalition that's working on that, but I know that doesn't help somebody who's homeless today. Hopefully we can help to be very proactive, and I'm actually part of the Mental Health Advocacy Council at the VA, which is not really part of the VA, but we give a lot of recommendations to the VA on how they can better serve the vets.
That's the VMLC?
At the VA, it's the Mental Health Advocacy Council.
Oh, mental health advocacy. Okay.
Yeah, and anybody can participate, and we would love to have new members. And if anybody is interested in participating, they can feel free to call me, and you can reach me at 602-685-6105. And I will definitely get you hooked up, because all of your stories and everything that you're going through can really help us to make good recommendations. And I think you know now, with all the things that are going on with the VA, it might be a really good time to help to get some new programs implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Taros does have our Advancing Heroes program, and we work with people who have post-traumatic stress. And there would be no charge to you. We work, and it is a 12-week closed group, so you start with the same people that you end with. We do cognitive processing therapy, but we also include a lot of wellness activities, including biofeedback, auricular acupuncture, yoga, equine therapy, art therapy, chiropractic, therapeutic recreation, and we also work with your families. To try to help hold your families together while you're going through your treatment.
Thank you so much.
If you are interested in that program, we have another session that will be starting on July 9th, and I'm going to give you a person to call. Her name is Marianne Watts, and she can be reached at 602-685-6074. Yeah, and what we work on, and we don't make you relive your trauma. I know we have people who have gone through the program who have said that, I've been through many programs. I've never made it past the second session. And so we don't make you relive your trauma. We make you help to understand how that's impacted your life and how you can move forward. It's been very successful, and we have a mentor that we could hook you up with who will help guide you through your homework assignments, help you understand the advantages of some of the alternative services that we are offering, and you know, you get to choose which ones work for you and which ones don't. So the cognitive processing therapy is a must.
Yes, it is, and you're wonderful with your outreach. What a great community relations person you are, Barbara,
because
you're really getting the message out. And remember earlier, listeners, that she had mentioned that the connection that Taros is just one part of a large conglomerate of mental health agencies that are pulling together nationwide. So you may hear the numbers here for Arizona, but I guarantee you that we will find the resources for you. If you're in South Carolina, if you're in Hawaii, we will help you and give you the emotional support you need to find those resources and connect them. There is help available, but we have to do work. We have to start calling, and we have to reach out to not only our students with disabilities, including our veterans that are dealing with family responsibilities, workloads, and school, and trying to help them. Make sure you mute your phones. We keep the lines open so we can have a conversation here, an open conversation with everyone. But please, do your best to share this information with other people, and write to the people that mean something in your community. Like Mitch mentioned earlier, the voting. Mitch, that was really great. The voting is so important, looking at who you're voting for. Today, many of the veteran speakers that we had lined up to speak are now at the gubernatorial candidacy hearings downtown Phoenix, and listening to the up-and-coming governors, that people that want to run for governor for Arizona. This is important for veterans to be there and students to be there to talk about the challenges that are going on. So thank you so much for sharing that today. Elway, where do you go from here is the question. I mean, you've been out there now, and your eyes have been opened, okay, to a real crisis situation. And so my question is now is, where do you go from here? Have you talked to other veterans? I heard you say something about you want to give back. Elaborate a little bit on that.
Yes, I want, after going through my experience, I want to try to do something to, like, give back to veterans, like to even make a voice for them, just so that way society can see what we're going through. mm-hmm. especially for the veterans who are truly trying. It's just not right for us who are truly trying, and yet we just get knocked down. So
That's right.
We have some loving friends that's allowing us to live with them for a couple of months until we get back on our feet, finishing up school for my phlebotomy, and I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to, you know, continue to come to, of course, to the Applewhite Institute. I'm going to go up to the VA hospital, see what I can do to be a voice for veterans who's going through the same thing
I went through. Thank you. That mental health advocacy, let's push that. We think that's so wonderful that Barbara Garden was able to share that with us this morning. We have another couple of people that would like to say something on the show this morning. Now, we have less than 10 minutes left, so we're going to come back and recap everything if you'd stay with us, Barbara Garden and Melinda Vail, okay? We have a 290 number. Hello?
Yes, my name is Jim.
Yes.
And I listen to your show, try to listen to it every Saturday. It's very informative. I'm a Vietnam vet, and when I hear about another veteran being homeless, it just breaks my heart. Because
mm-hmm.
I know what the veterans that go to war have to put up with and what they have to, the sacrifices they have to make. And when they come back home
yes.
with PTSD and all of the other things involved with the war situation, I think that the Veterans Affairs was started by our government a long time ago, and I sit sometimes and wonder just what are they trying to do for the veterans. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's the government's fault because they don't give the VA enough money to operate. I think they ought to come up with some kind of plan before this whole crisis with the VA is over with
mm-hmm.
for the homeless veteran to make a temporary loan, because
mm-hmm.
We're not looking for a handout. We just want to be helped up. We need a little help.
Yes,
and,
especially
in an emergency situation.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Who else can we turn to?
Right.
Heaven forbid we turn to crime or something like that if we get in an emergency situation and our family's on the streets. There ought to be some kind of program set up for that type of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know the money that we spend on everything else, I just can't understand why our government doesn't take care of our all the veterans. Well, they run.
Well,
may I
just elaborate just a little bit on what you're saying, because I agree with you 100% that there's definitely a lot of disparity. There's a lot of problems within the system. But one of the special announcements I wanted to make today, I was hoping Joe Dana from Channel 12 News would come on, and we would be able to utilize what he's doing now at the VA healthcare here in Phoenix. But thank you, Joe, for the information that you've given us and the great broadcasting that you've done. I know you must have got held up somewhere. But here's what I'd like to say, is that, yes, sir, you are right. There are some problems. But I promise you that one of the things that we're trying to do, and Barbara, I know you must agree with me, is not to cause additional fear for especially our student veterans or anyone going to the VA hospital for health care, because there are many, many instances where a good job has been done, and we cannot forget that, okay? As a veteran myself and I've used the facilities, and, yes, I've had some tough bouncing around at the VA myself, but I've also had some very, very good care. And also I've seen students, even not necessarily someone in LRA's position, but I have seen help going out to veterans for many of their situations, homelessness and hunger and those types of things. So I want everybody to recognize that, yes, there is that other side, that very ugly side, that we have to deal with, but we also have to look at, and I'm sure Taros deals with this too, Barbara, that there are some times when people maybe fall through the hoop okay? But we're trying our best. Isn't that right?
Yes, absolutely. And I would just like to jump on that bandwagon. The VA provides wonderful services. Some of the challenges is, as also some of our community agencies, we are so overwhelmed because there are so many people that need help that trying to get them in a timely manner is a big challenge. But the people who receive services, I have heard wonderful stories about the services that vets have received from the VA and from the Veterans Centers and from all the organizations that are there to help them.
And we have to commend Elway, too, because he's got emotional courage, he's been tenacious, he's got spiritual fortitude, he's working it for himself. He's not sitting back and throwing his hands up and saying, what's next? He did contact the Applewhite Institute. He is doing all that he can to find the right place for help for himself and his family.
Huh. Interesting. Wow, there's just so much to cover, and in upcoming shows we're going to be talking a lot about different organizations and the good things that are doing. And another thing just came through just now, a question, and I'll try my best to at least get this out there. One of the people that are writing in, they're talking about, did you know that many of the cancer groups, the cancer institutes, are not taking veterans? Did you know that there are many places that turn veterans away because they feel that they're getting benefits? So there's a lot of questions coming up, and it looks like we're going to have to run another show that addresses some of that. Let's look in our last 5 minutes of the show. I want to recap that we really need your help to keep the show going, so please go to whiteappleinstitute.org and make sure that you click that donate button. Even $5 or more will help us to keep the show on air. John Estes, anything you want to recap in a half a minute here before we have to move on here?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Applewhite. I'd just like to remind everyone that this is not a localized Phoenix, Arizona problem. It is nationwide and in some instances international problem. Veterans of all different countries of origin seeing the same symptoms that unfortunately our veterans. I'm a disabled veteran, and I remember going through the same problems that Elway and similar veterans have gone through to get their education. But we have a tenacity about ourselves that once we set our mind to do something, we do it, no matter
Thank
what
you.
The challenge is, because we face, unlike myself, I was not a combat veteran, but I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, and I still experience PTSD in some forms, and it's not a localized problem, it's a nationwide problem. We need to get in touch with our senators and representatives. I know that people listen to this program on a nationwide basis. And I call upon everyone that
Thank
is
you.
Interested in advocating for veterans to do so.
Yes. And let's move on to Mitch. Thank you so much for your comments. Let's move on to Mitch. Anything you want to close the show with this morning, Mitch, on Vet to Vet Talk?
Yes, I want to just tell Elray, thank God for you and your tenacity, and I will only tell
you
that struggling through the red tape, getting past all of the hurdles makes you stronger, and what you said a little while ago that you want to pass that on to other vets, that is exactly what I'm doing. That is exactly my ministry, is to help others to help themselves, because I'm a Vietnam vet, and they didn't start to recognize PTSD until recently. And we are still struggling trying to prove that we have post-traumatic stress.
Yes.
So for you to get
yes,
through
very, very good
all
point.
The red tape.
Very good point. Now, I've got to move you gentlemen along here because we've only got a few moments left, and I want to get a good recap before we close and just make an emphasis here that our purpose for this show today is to make sure that we expose some real truth, also talk about the problems that we work towards the solutions. And that's why we have people like Barbara Garden and Melinda Bale online this morning, because they can answer some of the questions that are going on, and we invite more agencies to come on board and help us to understand what's truly available. Barbara Garden, Melinda Bale, anything you want to say to close up here?
I just want to thank you for having me once again. For the veterans out there, I am married to a veteran, 26 years in the service. He has frontal lobe dementia. No family background. It's probably from injury. I am his voice, and I'm proud to be his voice.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And as we close today, I just want to wish all of you much love and peace. To share this show with others, okay? This is Dr. Applewhite saying, you know, if you don't shine your light, okay, you can't encourage others to share theirs. And one of the things that I want to say in closing, too, is that we appreciate the lives of Nelson Mandela and just recently our Maya Angelou passing on. These are people that are truly the eternal students and eternal teachers, because they learned from their experiences and they shared them with us so that we could all grow. Thank you all so much for being the Maya Angelou.